Bickley and Murata, Social Studies.
Social Studies is the time of the show where we hand the steering wheel over to Sarah Cazell.
And
I just put my feet up on the dashboard and I become a passenger.
Okay, but keep your shoes on, please.
Always.
Those monsters who take their shoes off on flights or any kind of public transportation.
I so agree with you on that.
Not even public. If I'm on a road trip and I drive by a car where I see bare feet on the dashboard, it just totally disgusts me.
Set it on fire.
Yeah.
No, that's a no thank you for me.
You know, in many ways, you have a lot. You don't have a lot in common with Quentin Tarantino.
I was going to say, I'm the anti-Tarantino.
Oh, what?
By the way, on that note, I ran into this little nugget. Somebody, I forget who it was. It was one of the actors from Once Upon a Time in Hollywood said there somewhere exists a 20-hour cut of Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
What?
And my first thought was, that is a lot of dirty feet.
Is there really?
That's what somebody said. 20 hours.
Cut? I wasn't even too into the 2 hours or however long it was.
Yeah.
I loved it, but 20 hours would be way too much. I mean, how much time can Brad Pitt spend feeding his dog in a 20-hour cut?
That's a good point.
Yeah.
Glenn.
Go ahead.
Oh, man.
Go ahead, Sarah.
All right, guys. Welcome on into Social Studies. Bickley underscore Murata, rather, on Twitter. That is where you can follow along and answer the questions that Jarrett posts every single day. We love hearing from you guys. So if you're not a regular participant, but you want to jump in, this is your invite. Follow us. Play along. We have a good time. All right, let's start with the Arizona Cardinals. Jay Glazer reported earlier today that James Conner, previously with Pittsburgh, has a visit with the Cardinals today. So we are asking a three-option poll here, but if your name isn't there, go ahead and fill it in. Of the following three running backs, who would you most like to see get the majority of carries for the Cardinals next season? Chase Edmonds, James Conner, or Najee Harris?
Okay.
So of those three, one of them that's actually on the team, huh?
That's correct.
Okay.
For now.
Yeah, that's a tough one for me to answer. I'm going to I'll vote for Chase Edmonds.
I will too. I'm just having a hard time on a Monday wrapping my head around the concept of the question.
Is that because you think Chase Edmonds is most likely to be the only of those three guys actually on the roster this fall, or you like him best out of those three?
Well, I mean, if you break down roster, you know, the chances that they're on the roster. Look, James Conner could happen in the next day or so.
Yeah.
If it comes down to those two, I don't want James Conner to get more carries than Chase Edmonds.
Okay.
And the Najee Harris thing, while I like him a lot, it's becoming increasingly more improbable that he'll be a pick at 16. So,
sure.
Yeah, that's the way I handicap it.
Okay. Fair enough. It is Najee Harris with 39% of the vote. 39% of our voters want to see him get the majority of snaps next season. 35% voted for Chase Edmonds, as you guys pointed out, the only one actually on the team. And then James Conner gets 26% of the vote. Travis Etienne got a write-in vote from Chris Cowell. And then Michael Clyde just said, young, hard running legs wins. So either Najee or somebody else.
Gotcha.
Yeah. Okay, moving on to our next question. Earlier in the show, you guys were talking about how officiating has impacted the pace of play, not only in Major League Baseball, but in the NBA as well. And you spent some time talking about that. Of the four major sports leagues, NBA, NFL, NHL, MLB, which sports league's use of instant replay do you find to be the most aggravating or the most problematic in how it impacts the game?
It's NBA for me. Although Major League Baseball closed the gap last night.
Yeah. I would agree. The NBA, it's the length of the delays in the NBA and the rhythm it disrupts. It really bothers me. So I'm voting the NBA as well.
Okay.
Can I say, I'll say NBA, and I'll add another layer to it. The NBA reviewing what constitutes a flagrant foul specifically for me.
Yes.
Drives me absolutely nuts. And I'm probably 0 for oh for my lifetime in predicting what the outcome will be. Yeah. There's no way that's a flagrant foul. Yeah. Oh, wait, he got ejected?
Oh,
okay.
Sure.
After a 10-minute review? Gotcha.
Yeah, it's whatever you think it won't be.
Yeah.
Most of the time.
Yeah.
Well, no surprise here. I know instant replay in Major League Baseball has long been aggrieved by baseball fans. So 42% of the voters said Major League Baseball, their use of instant replay is the most problematic. Finishing in second in the voting, 33% say the NBA. NFL gets 23% of the vote. Shout out to the NHL getting 1.3% of the vote.
They got it right. They got it perfect. That's what that means.
Exactly. but we do have a lot of people responding saying it's not just, oh, they don't pay attention or follow. People actually replying and saying NHL has it right. They're good. They know what they're doing. So, yeah.
Moving on. I guess people really hate it in soccer.
Oh, yes. Soccer was mentioned as well. But the international game, I think.
Yes. Yeah. It's bad.
Yeah. Moving on to our next question. Baseball. Luke Weaver. Turning heads yesterday against the Reds.
Mm-hmm.
A perfect game going into the sixth and a no-hitter that went into the seventh. So we're asking a very Jarrett question. The greatest Luke of all time. Who is the greatest Luke of all time? Luke Weaver, Luke Perry, Luke Skywalker, or Jarrett's favorite, Luke Lipinski.
Or a write-in Luke. I missed a couple of Lukes.
Yeah, Luke Duke.
Cool Luke, Hand Luke, got to mention.
Cool Hand
Ryan.
Luke Wilson.
Luke Ridenour.
Luke Air Force Base.
Luke Ridenour.
Yes, Luke Ridenour, got to mention.
Luke Easterling.
Yeah, all right.
That's right. St. Luke? Question mark?
Of the four choices, I've met two of them. I'm friends with one of them.
You know Luke Skywalker? You know
yes. Luke. Well, which Luke Lipinski is the answer? Just because you don't like him,
Luke
Jared.
Gapling.
are the two people you've met the obvious two? Lipinski and Weaver?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Luke Kuechly.
I don't know if you know this. Luke Skywalker does not exist.
But
yeah.
I thought perhaps you might have interviewed Mark Hamill. And
no.
Definitely in your former radio life might have interviewed Luke Perry.
I wish. I was a Luke Perry fan. He was quite the Lothario on Beverly Hills 90210.
Talk about sideburns. That
God
guy.
Rest his soul. He was the influence for my sideburns back in the day.
Really?
Yes.
Wow.
Yeah.
He tried to look like...
It was the thing back then.
Dylan or
him and Jason Priestley.
Oh my goodness.
Hold on. Let me do a little quick Google real quick. Sideburns?
Yeah. Beverly Hills 90210.
How about you, sideburns? You want some of this milk?
Oh, yeah.
That guy.
Yeah. That guy.
You don't remember who Luke Perry was?
No.
He was also in Once Upon a Time in Hollywood.
That's true.
Just passed away.
I was not feeling that. I forgot to look him up before.
The correct answer is Lipinski.
Okay.
Or Skywalker.
Amanda's...
Yeah,
see, that's who I voted for.
Yeah. I think I'm voting for Skywalker.
Don't vote for Luke just because we know him. Don't let that
I genuinely
you.
Like Luke, and he deserves some respect on this show.
He gets tons of respect from me.
And me.
Not Carlin.
No.
I don't vote for Luke just because I know him. Yes, exactly.
Okay, I voted for Luke Skywalker, too. Although Luke would probably get my second place vote. Luke Skywalker winning it 73% of the vote, although that's like not really a fair... You know, everyone's going to pick him. 21% Luke Lipinski, 4% for Luke Perry, and 2% for Luke Weaver, the inspiration for this poll question.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I know. And speaking of baseball, going to our final question for today's social studies, you know, when it comes to perfect games and no-hitters and all that good stuff in baseball, obviously you can never talk about it. You can never mention it. And Dan, you mentioned earlier in the show that the D-backs ticker on the broadcast
said what was going on. Right. I don't know exactly the details. I just saw it on social media, but it just sparked the age-old debate. If there's a no-hitter in progress, are you doing your job as a broadcaster avoiding the fact that this great achievement is happening and unfolding in front
no,
of everybody?
You're not.
It seems to me to be asinine.
I understand the whole, hey, if you're in the dugout with your teammate,
you don't want to mention it. You don't
say a word. Let him do his
thing. But if you're broadcasting, and if you're not delivering what's happening because of a jinx, then you're really an idiot.
Yeah. I've been in that situation here in this booth where we're in the middle of a game and I'm giving an update and I have to say what's going on. And then I get ticked off tweets, even if it's the other team.
Oh,
you know, you can't say that. I have to, though, because that's what I get paid to do, is to tell you what's
people
happening.
People actually believe jinxes are real.
Yeah.
What do you look at, Carl? You believe they're real, Carlin? Come on.
I have three answers to this question I will give you guys later since we're running out of time. But
okay.
We have a couple good replies I want to get to before we go. So the question is, what is the biggest jinx you have ever given or seen occur? Do you guys have anything in your lives?
Not really. I do kind of believe in the Sports Illustrated and Madden curses.
The cover? Okay.
Yeah.
So you do. So you do
a little
believe
bit.
Jinxes are...
No, but yes.
Yes. The Madden curse is not a Madden jinx. It's a curse.
Okay.
Work it out logically and tell me how your brain can accept the concept of a jinx happening.
You would be more apt to believe them if you've lived the life that I've lived.
Listen, I hear you. I hear you. But you're also smart and you realize that, you know, somebody in a broadcast booth going, Luke Weaver's got a no-hitter today, doesn't suddenly enrage some karmic power that makes it stop.
Look, we were talking about the Suns being healthy, and we both did knock on wood. We did it last week on this very show.
Do you ever, what an eye.
Knock on wood
Fingers
isn't
crossed.
Necessarily acknowledging jinxes. It's just sort of wishing for good luck. No?
Same difference.
Oh, I disagree wholeheartedly.
I'm more on the jinx side of it.
Wow.
Like, you want to avoid the jinx, so you better knock on wood.
Yeah.
We might revisit this one.
What if you knock
on
formica and you think it's wood? What happens to the jinx then?
So we've got a couple good replies, but we don't have time.
Yeah, we'll
Let's get back into it.
This. Yeah,
definitely want to read those out.
Thank you, Sarah.
Thanks,
Social
guys.
Studies every day at 1. Coming up next, Bick said earlier in the show, he asked the question, is there anything Devin Booker can't do? I think that question can be applied to another local athlete. We'll get into it next. Bickley and Murata, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's Sports Station. Bickley and Murata.
Over the weekend, Cardinals quarterback Kyler Murray tweeted out a video of himself at in a gym, basketball court.
Mm-hmm.
Just draining long jump shots. Now, I say long jump shots because they weren't three-pointers, at least NBA three-pointers. He was inside the line, but definitely more than a college three-pointer.
Yeah. He had a good-looking shot.
Yeah, real
good release,
real smooth shot.
Compact release, yeah.
The video, shot. I don't know how edited it was, how many misses were before or after, but he hit 7 of the 8 shots on the video. And Kyler Murray tweeted out, whenever y'all ready, and... tag the Suns. Suns responded with, sheesh, what can't he do? Number one is taken, though.
Oh, that's good. I like that.
This got a little bit more in terms of legs today. Chris Paul did media availability ahead of the Suns game against Houston tonight and was asked about the Kyler Murray wanting to join the Suns thing.
Yeah, I did see it. They're going to let him come... We let him come play here. They let me go play quarterback.
How would that work? How's the arm? How's the arm, Chris?
I played quarterback in high school, so I don't know. Could definitely use some bond tuning.
That does not shock me that Chris Paul played quarterback in high school.
Me neither.
Not one bit. He is a quarterback on an NBA floor.
Yeah, that's true.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's. I like the response. Yeah, we can try this out.
I love when we get to the point where we have franchise-to-franchise synergy in town.
Yeah.
A lot of it is stemmed from winning and having a lot of star power, which this city has a lot of star power right now.
Yeah.
So, I'm glad Kyler Murray tagged the Suns and not the Warriors. Or else we'd be having a different discussion.
Yeah,
right now.
Yeah. Isn't that the truth?
Or as there a kid from people, Texas, you know, tag the Rockets.
There are people though that anytime they see Kyler Murray doing anything that's not football, they wonder, "What are you doing, man? What are you doing? Well, you want to play basketball too?" Because we do know he wants to play baseball, and we do know the Cardinals are not letting him.
Well. There, I think there's more than a shred of truth to that.
Yeah,
definitely.
He said he would love to do both, and the Cardinals said no, he's not doing both. Yeah, I don't know. But I do agree with you. I do like the interplay between franchises, and that kind of adds a connectivity. It makes things cool. I do like that. There's a difference. Like, sometimes there's grandstanding, or there's sometimes glomming on. Like, if a sports team accomplishes something really good, the other teams might, like, give them a shout-out on social media, and that's not what this is. This is just organic interplay, which I like better.
I think there's a interesting reaction when videos like this come out, and people are like, wow, Kyler Murray, good at basketball. That's kind of surprising. Well, he grew up playing basketball. Athletes are athletes. Mm-hmm. I have a philosophy that most professional athletes, when they reach the pinnacle of their given sport, it's probably a decision that they have to make. Which one do I want to pursue? I'm good enough to go pro in any of these sports because I've been blessed and I've worked really hard. Which one do I want to do?
Which one do I like the most? Which one pays the most? All that stuff.
I'm more surprised when I see a professional athlete who, in a show of other athletic prowess, is not very good. And I want to be careful because he's in town. John Wall is a phenom on the basketball floor.
Mm-hmm.
The video of his first pitch.
That's a good point. It was just one of the worst of all time.
And he played high school baseball. So I'm more curious when I see something like that. We all grew up with kids that were good at every sport, right?
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Did you ever grow up with a kid that was really good in one sport and wasn't very good in anything else?
No.
I grew up with a kid like that too.
Did you?
Yeah, it was the weirdest thing. On the basketball court, he was like just a natural moving athlete. And you'd get him away from basketball and he was the biggest klutz ever.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow. Didn't David Johnson in the batting cages, didn't he struggle early on? I think he did.
Yes. Yes.
Remember, Fitz made fun of him after his first softball game?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. And then it became a big thing to David Johnson?
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah, that's interesting. Again, and with Kyler Murray, it hits differently because I think there's still, for a lot of people, a skepticism for how committed he is to the sport of football and whether he's chose football because that's where the big, big, big money is. That story will sort itself out because if Kyler Murray takes the next step this coming year, he's going to get one of these massive contracts and he will be playing football a while. Mm-hmm. But I think people are still kind of a little bit, you know, that's a storyline that has followed him from Indianapolis all the way into the NFL.
You joked about it earlier. It would be interesting if he showed up at one of the two D-backs A's games over the next 2 days, even just in the crowd.
Yeah.
You'd be like, why are you choosing these two games, Kyler?
Yeah, it's
a good point.
Good point.
Yeah.
We'll cross that bridge when we get to it. Chris Paul also, he spoke to the media about several different things and also talked about his teammate, DeAndre Ayton, and his performance this year.
Been great. I think it's been a learning process for all of us. He Ayton showed a lot of growth. You know, this is a new situation for him. A lot of, you know, new sets. Obviously, playing with me probably ain't the easiest thing either. So, he's been great.
I like the admission. Probably playing with me is not the easiest thing ever. We've got to the point in the season, 52 games in, Bick, where, and I found this was on The Athletic, their new NBA power rankings. They've got the Suns number 3 in this week's rankings. And for each team, they had something they call a question that arises.
Mm-hmm.
The question for the Suns, can this team get away with DeAndre Ayton not being in the game? The interior depth for this team isn't really there. Ayton has been inconsistent at times this season, but backing him up with stretch bigs like Dario Saric and Frank Kaminsky leaves a lot to be desired on defense. In the playoffs, they can't play Ayton 40-plus minutes. There will be some times he's in foul trouble. How do they get by even when their stretch big lineup struggle to score?
Mm.
So in the matter of a couple of weeks, we've gone from the question being, why is DeAndre Ayton not playing more minutes in the fourth quarter? And now the national pundits are asking, can the Suns get away with not playing DeAndre Ayton in crunch time situations?
Yeah, he went from not playing in the fourth quarter to people saying, feed him the ball in the fourth quarter, man. Come on. That's the DA experience. That's when he's right, the ceiling just goes up about 15 floors.
It's true.
It's like an express elevator.
Yeah. We'll see which version of DeAndre Ayton we get tonight as the Suns host the Houston Rockets at Phoenix Suns Arena. 6:30 pregame, 7 o'clock tip here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. Coming up next, Monday, we'll hand out some hardware. It's Bickley and Murata live from the Ak Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
Time to take a look at the Arizona Sports Poll Question. Brought to you by Sanderson Ford. The best play is at Sanderson Ford.
Today's Sanderson Ford poll question, as it appears on the homepage at arizonasports.com. Okay. How long will Eduardo Escobar's streak of consecutive games with a home run last? He's at 4 right now. Your choices are 4, and then the dancer sequence. 5, 6, 7, 8. Will it be 4, 5, 6, 7, or 8?
I'll vote 5. I'll say he goes deep again tonight in the streak ends.
That would be a new franchise record to himself.
Wow.
Yes.
Got it.
We'll vote for 5. 66% say, that's enough, Eduardo. 4 games is good. You're done. 16% say 5 games. 9% have him going all the way to 8. 7% to 6. 1% say 7 games. That is today's Sanderson Ford poll question on the homepage of arizonasports.com. Before we get to hardware, the Julian Edelman news. Very interesting. Failed physical, terminated contract. You heard Sarah in the update say expected to retire. That from Mike Reese. He had an injury plague season last year. He
couldn't catch the ball last year.
Played only 21 catches in 6 games last year before he missed the rest of the season. Former Super Bowl MVP.
Yeah.
Not that long ago.
Yeah. A guy that was incredibly effective in that New England offense as a slot receiver, getting open for those key third downs. He was practically unstoppable in the heyday of the Patriots and big downs. It was him and Gronk that really powered that offense because you couldn't find a way to cover both.
And it was also interesting the way this news trickled out. Is first he was cut, and everybody, probably 20 immediate tweets, oh, what time's the next Boston to Tampa flight?
Yeah.
Oh, he's going to Tampa.
Did you see Tom? I thought that was a retweeting of it. That's from May 4th, 2019.
Yeah.
Tom Brady. I thought maybe he was politicking for Edelman to go down.
Yeah. I think Julian Edelman, they're saying he's expected to retire because he looked cooked at the end of last year. Mm-hmm. He's had drop issues that he's never had in the past. He's played very, very physical. He made a catch in the Super Bowl during that comeback against the Falcons that we rarely reference when we talk about that comeback.
You're right. Everybody talks about the Tyree catch, and it was obviously amazing. Julian Edelman's catch was equally as amazing.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And he never gets mentioned, and equally important in the grand scheme of everything. So, yeah, that's interesting. Interesting to me.
Here we go. 98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. The Arizona Sports signing bonus.
Oh, day one for us on the Arizona Sports signing bonus. Get used to this, because all throughout April, throughout May, 1:35 every day, you got a chance to win $500 just by texting the word bonus to 620-620. Here's the way it works. Every day at 1:35, we will announce a name. And when we announce that name, said person has 10 minutes to give us a call to claim that signing bonus. If not, we'll do it again the next day. Want to get ready to give away some money here, Ben?
Yes, I definitely am.
All right. I love giving away money, especially when it's not mine.
Uh-huh.
Here we go. Time for our Arizona Sports signing bonus. Our winner today, Chris Snoop from Phoenix. Chris Snoop. You've got 10 minutes starting right now to give us a call at 602-260-9870. If you do that, $500 signing bonus. And if you didn't hear your name again, you can still win by texting bonus to 620-620 and listen for your name again today at 3:35. Burns and Gambo got another name to call. Chris Snoop from Phoenix, you got 10 minutes to call right now, 602-260-9870.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station.
Bickley and Murata.
Handing out the hardware.
Hardware is our version of the award show. We do it on Mondays, and it's brought to you by Revitalize. Make changes that can last a lifetime with Revitalize. Give them a call. Schedule your initial metabolic analysis at 480-435-3557 or online at fatlossphoenix.com. Bick, what do you got?
All right, my first award, Vinny, is the Respect Award, and you probably knew I was going to go here. I'm giving it to caddy Shota Heifuji, who is the caddy for Hideki Matsuyama, whose gesture at the end of the Masters yesterday really resonated with people. After Hideki putted in for the win, he put the pin back in the flag, took his hat off, and bowed to the course. And it was such an awesome gesture of reverence and respect and of Japanese culture that I just loved it. Everybody who watched it seemed to feel the same way.
Yeah, it's amazing, too, because during the course of the 4 days, a lot of golfers bowed to that course. Didn't do it as officially.
Yeah. No, it was just really, really cool.
My first award is the It's About Damn Time Award.
Ground ball to shortstop. San Diego's own Joe Musgrove sending the Friar faithful into a frenzy.
Pretty cool moment. It happened on the road. That was the only bad part for the Padres. But a San Diego guy making his second start as a Padre throws the franchise's first no-hitter in their 8,206th game.
Wow. What took you so long?
Since the Padres started in 1969, there has been 137 no-hitters thrown in Major League Baseball. And 10 against them, and they've never had one until now.
And the Padres have had some good pitchers. Eric Schau.
Randy Jones. Gaylord Perry.
Who is that?
Dave Dravecki.
Who is that maniac? Kevin Brown.
Lamar Hoyt.
Props to that. What a scene, huh?
Yeah, very cool.
All right. My next award is the Dunk of the Year Award, and I'm giving it to Miles Bridges, flushed a dunk, and it might be the most aggressive, awesome dunk I have seen in a long time. Anthony Edwards was number one. This was better. And this guy he had a few of these dunks against the Suns the last time they played.
Right now, Miles Bridges is the best in-game dunker in the NBA.
I agree with you.
Yeah. Anthony Edwards has had some amazing stuff, and he's just getting started, too. But Miles Bridges is violent when he dunks the basketball. My next award is the Patience of a Saint Award, and I'm giving it to this guy. I ran across this over the weekend. A guy by the name of something Doyle. What is it?
His last name.
Brian Doyle.
Brian Doyle Murray.
This guy who lives in Maine. On October 4th, 1975, he paid $2 at Fenway Park to attend Game 1 of the American League Championship Series. Louis Tiant pitched that game. Sox beat Oakland 7-1. After the game, this Doyle guy puts the ticket stub in his wallet. And he carried it around for 46 years. Just in case he ever ran into Louis Tiant. He ran into Louis Tiant while getting his COVID vaccine in Maine. Tiant signed it and posed for a picture.
That is just excellent. That is really, really good. All right. My next award is the You Don't See This Every Day Award, and I'm giving it to the Ginger Assassin. You know who he is, Vinny? He's an 18-year-old pro bowler who converted a 7-10 split on television for the first time in 30 years.
Come on, kid, do it.
Oh, he did it! He got the 7-10, Randy!
Oh my God.
Woo-hoo-hoo! My goodness, the Ginger Assassin just dropped the 7-10! You bet, kid! You bet! Oh, man!
That highlight's got it all.
Waters and spare the game.
It's got screaming.
Yeah.
It's got Ginger Assassin. It's got Pour Some Sugar on Me. Can't kick it up in the background.
Yeah.
Bowling rules, man. That was pretty cool.
Yeah, it was.
It only happens. I had it termed as the It Actually Does Happen in Real Life Award. 30 years between televised 7-10 splits.
Isn't that crazy?
either it's that infrequent or there needs to be more bowling on
his strategy
television.
Was interesting because I always thought, and I'm not a big bowler, but I always thought the only way you could convert those is to clip the 10-pin on the right side and hope that it slides over. He just demolished the 10-pin, and it just...
And hope for the hop.
And just hope for the hop.
And he got the hop. That was pretty cool. And Rob Stone was the guy on the play-by-play.
That was cool.
That was pretty cool,
yeah,
too. My last award is the Pronunciation Matters Award, and I'm giving it to the heckler in Atlanta who is trying to give Bryce Harper a hard time.
Bryce, you'll never be as good as Acuna. As hard as you try, you'll never be as good as him. You'll never be as good as Acuna. You can try as hard as you want. You'll never be as good as Acuna. Ever.
Well,
did you see the video of this, by the way?
I did not.
Bryce Harper responds to the guy and is telling him, no, you're pronouncing it wrong. It's Acuna. And he's even like putting where the tilde is.
Right, right. I don't know if you saw Acuna beat out a ground ball to shortstop, a hard hit ball to shortstop.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like that in my life. That speed, I've never seen on a baseball field.
No, it was amazing. Like 31 feet per second is what he covered.
Insane.
By the way, that guy sounded a lot like T.J. Miller, who played Ehrlich Bachman on Silicon Valley. I know that's very, very... he might be up to just heckling people. His career's kind of gone south. But there you go. There's hardware for this Monday. Coming up, final thoughts on this Monday. It's Bickley and Marotta live from the Ak-Chin Community Studios, 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station.
98.7 FM, Arizona's sports station. Bickley and Marotta, song of the day.
This song has been covered a billion times. Which version is that? Is that the Otis Redding version?
Eddie Floyd.
Eddie Floyd.
I believe it's the original.
Yeah, this is the original.
Is it? Did Knock on Wood because of the Jinx talk earlier.
Yeah, so what do we have to discuss about that, Carlin?
1 second. I got to attend to this because we're past the 10-minute window. Did Chris Snoop call?
Chris Snoop did not call.
Oh!
Chris Snoop did not call. No signing bonus.
He might have been walking his dog.
Yeah.
All right, that wasn't funny.
No signing bonus for the young Snoop dog.
He looks like a young Snoop dog.
That means you got a chance. Listen for your name at 3:35. If you haven't texted bonus to 620-620, do it. It could net you $500 in signing bonus. Every
five bills,
day,
man.
Three times a day from now until the end of May. That's a lot of cash.
Yeah.
All right. So we're talking about jinxes, knocking on wood. Jarrett, you said you had three answers to the question on whether or not you believe in jinxes.
Yeah. So three times in my life, I don't know if you could call them jinxes, giving it the eye or whatever. One time is I had one part of a jackpot at the casino playing poker, mm-hmm. and my cut was $250, which at the time was still to this day, tremendous amount of money. So I was driving out of the casino and talking to my friend. Oh my God, this is the greatest thing ever. I can't believe we won. I'm like looking at the money, and while I'm saying this, I drive right through a stop sign.
And got fined exactly
$250.
Oh. Yep,
for a moving violation.
Okay. Okay.
Another time, and this is true also, the day I paid off my car, I'm sitting at a red light, and I say to my wife, today was the day I finally paid the last payment on my car. Can you believe it? Unbelievable. We don't have to pay any. As I'm saying those words, I get rear-ended at the red light.
Okay.
And the other time is U of A versus Illinois in the 2005 Elite Eight. We're up 15 points with 3 minutes left. And I'm saying to my friends, we're planning the Final Four party. What should we do? Who should we invite? What kind of keg should we get? And as we're saying this, they start going on the run, and they cut to Bill Murray in the crowd cheering on the team, and it was downhill from there.
Yeah.
And they wound up losing.
That was all powerful.
All I have to say about that is
well said.
I did have one jinx experience. I was out, I was playing a round of golf at Bushwood Country Club. Torrential downpour.
Oh,
heavy stuff's not coming down for a while.
Right. That's a good one.
The good Lord would never interrupt the greatest game of my life.
Right. I can understand anxiety about the outcome of a sporting event leading you to believe in jinxes as long as in moments of clarity you realize, yeah, that's not possible. Because it's coincidence what you're talking about.
So you don't believe in anything close to that.
No.
You don't believe in, like, I'm going to sit in the same chair and not move if my team's doing well. So then
you would believe that there are forces.
I know.
Forces in the universe, independent of what is going on in the sporting event, that sees everything that's going on, and the minute somebody does something that is not.
I believe in all that stuff, but only for bad things.
Yeah. Here's an example from our listener, Colin. The concept of an announcer jinx is ridiculous when talking about no-hitters, except for when an NBA announcer tells you a player is 8 of 8 or 9 or 9 of 9 from the free throw line that game, then it's guaranteed they miss the next one. There's something to be said about that.
Okay. It sure seems like it, but they're not real. I mean, they're a thing, but they're not real.
We got a lot of responses, maybe not a lot, but at least a few responses at Bickley_Murata pointing a finger at Dave Pasch, the play-by-play announcer of the Arizona Cardinals, for being a jinx.
Really?
Yeah.
I didn't know this was a thing until I saw all the responses.
I didn't know either. Do you know more about this, Jared?
Yes, because Paul Calvisi, remember him?
Mm-hmm.
Used to do a thing called the Pasch Factor. Where he would play, he'd play like a clip from that game of Dave Pasch saying something. Oh, this guy hasn't fumbled in, you know, whatever. And then he would fumble on the next play. And then he even had a Pasch Factor.
Gotcha.
Mm-hmm.
Gotcha.
So it became like a thing.
Here's a Suns one, if you don't have your own picked out to read, Vince, from Josh Kleiner. He says, my father, rest his soul, said at the end of Game 6 of the 93 NBA Finals, son, as long as someone like Paxson doesn't get open for a three, I think at worst we'll see this game go to overtime. Guess who made the game-winning shot?
Yeah, I had a similar experience to Jarrett's Elite Eight against Illinois experience in that very game. My family, the previous weekend, the Suns, that's when they won that triple overtime game at Chicago Stadium. So when we got back the next Sunday to watch Game 6, we all wore the same clothing. We all sat in the same places.
Sure.
Suns are winning. And right before the end of the game, I was like, all right, what are we going to do for Game 7? Got to make plans.
Ouch.
There was no Game 7.
My dad is a big believer in this sip. He calls it giving it the eye. That's his big thing. He had hung up for me with conversations. Mm-hmm. I called him when the Nationals were in the World Series and are about to win. Like, oh, my God, you must be going crazy. He's like, what are you giving it the eye for? And he hung up on me.
There are examples that are fun to write about, and I have. Like, for instance, I believe they started selling World Series T-shirts in Wrigley Field right before the Bartman incident happened. And there have been other things. Teams bringing in champagne before they should into their locker room.
Sarah, were you at U of A when they rushed the field, or getting ready to rush the field?
Against Oregon?
Yeah.
I was already down there as a student journalist, yes. Yeah. And I remember just looking at them like, no, stay where you are.
I talked about it last week when the Suns were playing the Jazz, chanting MVP for Devin Booker, and then starting singing, na-na-na-na, hey, goodbye. Wait till the buzzer goes.
Right.
About that Oregon game, Sarah, the only thing I have to say about that one,
Stop that. No.
That is going to do it for us today. Thanks to our guest,
Silly Monday. I like it.
Yeah, Luke Easterling, Mark Cabali. Thanks to you for listening. We appreciate it. We'll do it again tomorrow. Burns and Gambo up next here on 98.7 FM, Arizona Sports Station. See you.